Track 12. For our feature this week, we are returning to one of the biographies which Liz from East Kilbride produces from time to time. A year or so ago, she produced a biography of Dolly Parton, which we included in the journal. Now, TNF Soundings have repeated it in tribute to the incomparable Dolly, who passed away on the 25th of August. So here is the piece which concentrates on Dolly Parton's charitable work.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello again, it's Liz from East Kilbride. My choice today is Dolly Parton. Now, if you're one of the very few people on planet Earth who hasn't heard of Dolly, then please keep listening, because this chat, in the time I have, rather than being all about her endless multi-million selling musical songs, it's much more a focus in the time I have on the work, the philanthropy and the amazing effort that she has put into helping others through the money she has made from these world famous songs. Of course, we all know the poor background, born in Tennessee, the fourth child of a family of 12. Her own father couldn't read or write. Now, there's a link to some of her later work. But it was music, musical talent, that gave her self-confidence, which gave her a path into the fame through the Grand Old Opry, working with Porter Wagoner, and then going further afield, away from the idea of just appealing to country music fans, to become this internationally famous superstar. One of the aspects of Dolly, which I also want to say, is just how self-aware she is. As she famously said, "I don't get affected by dumb blonde jokes because, you know I'm not dumb, and I also know I'm not a blonde." So even from those early days, Dolly was a woman of wisdom and a woman of great mirth, in fact. "I'm a self-made woman," says Dolly, "and I have the doctor bills to prove it." Now, those early successes and the continuing success over decades has given her the money and also the platform to use that money. Some particular themes arise. She wants to help children. Now, you can throw money at things or you can think about it. I think she's always been a very astute woman. And the dream was channel the money towards projects or people where it would be most useful. So many years ago, when she saw the success and she saw the money coming in, she set up the Dollywood Foundation. Now, this is a non-profit organisation which in itself is providing hundreds of jobs, because, of course, the bids come in from projects all over America, and indeed it's become sought after money from all over the world. They look at the bids, they consider where the money should go, and then it goes out. In particular, she's trying to check that money goes towards education. She has a very strong scholarship program all across America and an innovative idea called the Buddy Program, where kids are put forward for this money, but they go in pairs. And the idea is you have one student who is really quite keen to do well in the exams that are coming up, and they are paired with someone who's maybe a bit more of a reluctant learner. And she's very basic about it. What will make them work harder? It's money. But the deal is they both have to graduate. So a bit of peer pressure used in a very positive way, and it's been very, very successful, especially across the less wealthy parts of America. She's very focused on nature conservation, and in the recent dreadful wildfires in Tennessee, set up My People Fund, trying to restore the homes, restore the habitats and restore the livelihoods of the people in our home state. A fun aspect of helping people in your home state is the Dollywood theme park. Well, of course it is. People want to go along and have fun. So there you are, a theme park for all the family, bringing money into a very poor area of the United States, and above all, bringing employment at all areas for people in that park that she loves so much. A central core of this work is her giant, profound belief in literacy. As Dolly said, you can never get enough books into the hands of enough children. She doesn't just say that. From 1995, she has ploughed money into the Imagination Library, sending out books first in her local state, then across America, and that has now become a worldwide program of giving books to families and especially to children. Considering that her own father could not read or write, that's clearly a wish that she has had really from her very earliest days. It's estimated now that in her work through the Imagination Library, they have distributed over 100 million books across the world. These figures are staggering. They send out over 1 million books every month to improve literacy of all children who are attending school. And a vital aspect of that, which I'm very happy to mention, of course, is that the books are now being done on Braille, so that visually impaired and blind children can access the world of imagination, which Dolly seeks to broaden out to as many young kids as possible. Time for another Dollyism, I think. What about this one? I was the first woman to burn my bra. It took the fire department 4 days to put it out. Now, the Dolly shape. Well, curvy, I think, would be an understatement. But that, in fact, led to a very strong Scottish connection that I have to mention. Because when Professor Ian Wilmot and the team at Roslin were doing experimentation on sheep, they finally managed to craft a cloned sheep. And they decided to give this world-breaking first a special name. And that became the most famous sheep in the world, Dolly the Sheep. Now, I don't think Dolly herself was at all offended by being given this title. And she knew that Dolly was a very famous and a very important sheep. But I think Professor Ian Wilmot was a bit concerned he had upset her. And he issued a statement saying, you know, it wasn't meant to be disrespectful to the lady in question or to the women of the world in general. The name really helped humanise a research project. I think it was good for us. It made us look human. And you know, in that spirit, I'm sure she appreciated having that name attached to such an important scientific project. You'd be surprised, said Dolly, how much it costs to look this cheap. This is a woman who doesn't mind people knowing that she's had her fair bit of surgery done. And of course, the wigs, how famous are the wigs? Sometimes she's asked, you know, how long does it take to do your hair? But she wisely says, well, I don't know because I'm never there. And the wigs are not only the glamour aspect of her stage appearances. I didn't know this until I was studying for my chat today. They serve a very practical purpose because when she's on stage wearing her sparkly figure-hugging outfits, her wig is where they put the microphone, which merely makes it very practical as well as very attractive. A few things just to close about Dolly who I've really just given you an insight, a very little insight into, is the fact that she always loves food. In fact, she says, "My weaknesses have always been food and men, in that order." She doesn't only proclaim her love for food, she even specifies her favourite food. Now you might think this is a multimillionaire woman who could order anything exotic, frankly, from anywhere in the world. But no, Dolly's favourite food is potatoes. "Every diet," says Dolly, "every diet I ever fell off has been because of a potato. I just love potatoes, baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, or French fries. I couldn't go without them." Oh, makes her feel so real and makes her seem really very wise. The ultimate accolade is from the people of her own area, who revere her as a preserver of their land, as an innovator in bringing employment to the area, and now have given her a statue in Tennessee, where she's sitting a little bit like the Little Mermaid on the rock in Copenhagen Harbour. It shows her as a young barefoot singer holding her guitar and smiling. And the words they would like to give to Dolly is maybe, I hope you will agree, very well merited, the Queen of the Appalachia. And I'll just finish with her favourite recipe. We're back to food again, folks. Now, if you're inclined to try this recipe and you decide it's not for you, please don't complain about me. I'm passing on another Dollyism. "My favourite food," says Dolly, "is always macaroni cheese with fried apples. I must confess I haven't tried it yet. So if I'm not doing very much over the next few weeks, I'll try the Dolly special recipe." Thanks once again. Oh, and by the way, listen to the music as well, because it's fabulous. Thanks so much.
TNF Soundings.